Good evening and welcome to The Pinken Show, our dedicated canary shenanigans that regularly bobbled its golden opportunities from 12 yards down the middle. I'm Michael Bailey. Good evening to you. We are here at the Woolpack Public House in the centre of Norwich. We are live, and over the next 30 minutes or so, we will wrap up a Saturday of Wednesday joy, pick up the first rumours ahead of January, welcome back, flip the bird, Steve can't wait, and bite our nails over the prospect of Millwall spoiling the Carrow Road party. We will do all of this in the company of our delightful duo tonight, Eastern Daily Press City columnist Ian Clark. I almost upgraded you there to correspondent, Clarky. And I'm delighted to welcome the man behind the biggest and most eccentric stat attacks this side of the Waveney. You may know him as @NCFCNumbers on Twitter. It's Steve Sanders. Great to have you both on, gents. Steve, thank you for coming on, making your debut. We're outing you now, aren't we?
You are officially outing me as, well, it was a kind introduction, but basically the Norwich City nerd, I suppose. I don't know if that's an unfair title to give myself. But no, it's very exciting to be on. Thank you for having me, and good week to do it, I guess.
Good week, good month. Good season, Clark. It's all going so well. How are you?
I'm very well, yeah. And I've already apologised to Steve for all the times I've nicked his great stats in columns and tweets.
You're not the only one, don't worry. I try and credit each time, Steve. We are live on pinken.com and the Pinken Facebook page. And we want to hear from you too over the next 30 minutes or so. Be it on Pookie Power, Max Power, Emmy Buen Power, Daniel Sparker, but especially in light of an Ipswich restaurant coming up with the Paul Lambert burger. Now, this is a lamb and camembert burger, but really should have been a Paul Lamb burger, shouldn't it? Paul Lambo.
Yes.
We want your Norwich City tribute food dishes, not convoluted at all. And we know Clarkie is good for a pun as well, so I'm looking forward to this.
I've got a few I've rustled up.
So, you can get those and everything else.
Rustled up.
It's going to be a long half an hour. You can get through those all through to us in the pub. Simply post your words below the live feed on the Pinken Facebook page feed. The fact that it's the Pinken Facebook page is important because that's the only one I'll be able to see. And those messages will ping right through to my phone here. John Ralph on the Ball City. David McKenzie in with an early wave. Tony Eccleston's gone thumbs up. Mark Pinson, hi from St. Thomas, US Virgin Islands.
Oh, very good.
Nice.
Press for that.
Yeah, global.
Global and gloating. Jez David says, mine's a wherry, whereas we're all on the juices. Yeah. So I don't... Wrong pub, Jez. But pub drinks are available in terms of alcohol. And Johnny Woods, evening all. Tessa Heginbotham, hello from Hyde, Cheshire. It's not quite the Virgin Islands, but it's still nice and lovely, I'm sure. Alan Monument says hello. And Johnny Woods gets straight in with the jelly goss.
Oh, I like that one.
Oh, that's better than anything I've got already.
We want one from Steve. Yeah. One from Steve over the course of the show. So there we go. Keep those flowing in, please. So it's another week down and November is here. Let's give a pep talks all round to Wesley Moulahan and Onel Hernandez. Clarky. As we deliver this week's Norwich City headlines. Almost went too soon there, Clarky. It's a hoodoo. City smash all known records and theories as they earn their first win at Hillsborough since December 2001 and their first away win in November since 2008. I don't even recognise this world anymore, but I like it. 4-0 crumbs. Top of the league, you're having a laugh. It was just 22 hours, but it was enough to remind a few in the national media that Norwich City still exist. To be honest, we are all probably prefer life under the radar anyway. Top of the championship, how about that? More importantly, 16 games in, and City have broken 30 points. Two-thirds of the clubs that have done that in the last decade, Clarky, have gone on to get promoted. Don't get excited. Close, but no cigar. That's a tired cliche. Tim Closer's superb form earned him a nomination for PFA Player of the Month, although he didn't get the final nod, but it's a fans' vote, so who cares? So, he is also set, hopefully, to repeat the trick for the Championship's October Award 2, if only he wasn't out of contract come the summer. And finally, January, anyone? Anyone? Kieran Sadlier, Harry Anderson, the first two names to tickle the rumour mill taste buds ahead of the January transfer window. And yet, with the size of City's squad and the way the season is going, would they even need to do anything in January anyway? Let us know your thoughts and we will tell you ours. Clarky! There we go. Top stuff. Guys, let's get to it. Rarely do we get a perfect weekend. Was the weekend a perfect weekend?
can't see how you get much better. 4-0, as you rightly said, Michael, the first time we scored four away from home in the league since Blackburn. What was that, 2.5 years ago? I think at that point we thought, well, this is going to be the norm at this level. It hasn't quite turned out that way. But no, it was a superb performance. I mean, I hate to be on a downer straight away, but actually, I didn't think they were great first half by the recent standards. They gave the ball away quite a bit. Second half, though, it was an absolute joy to watch. I mean, haven't seen anything like that on our travels for a long, long time. They absolutely obliterated Wednesday. You weren't great, but you know, we had a lot of games last season where we were playing teams that didn't look great. I mean, you look at our record against the bottom four last year, didn't beat any of them. So to put four past a team that's still kind of lower mid-table takes some doing, and the football they played at the same time was phenomenal. So yeah, I mean
there was a degree of capitulation as well from Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, they're in a torrid little run, so, but as Steve says, it was kind of Norwich taking advantage of that. Yeah, which is what we didn't see last year.
Absolutely, and they capitulate, I think, because we made them capitulate. And I think for me, what's been really great the last few weeks is times when we've gone behind early on at, you know, Forest for instance, when, you know, we've missed a penalty and things go wrong, or missed more than one penalty and things go wrong. But somehow in the last few weeks there's been a real camaraderie, there's been a real togetherness, which has meant that when things haven't gone great at any period in the game, we've still managed to keep momentum going and ended up turning in some great performances, and that win on Saturday was phenomenal.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I mean, they actually seem to have been really consistent performance-wise for most of the season. It was sort of just bizarre errors that almost got them in trouble in those early games.
As in Norwich early this season? Yes, I suppose you're right. I think they have been more resilient, though, since Farke's changed the team up, bringing in Aarons, bringing in Campwell. Steeperman seems to have made a big difference. And they, as you rightly say, it was errors before. Now they seem to be getting on the right side of games, and that's given them the confidence to turn in a performance like last Saturday.
Which I guess is a question, how long will it last? But we don't know the answer, so I'm not going to ask it. Increasing influence of Emi Buendia. I don't know if some people are still a bit mixed in terms of how he's doing, but to me he seems to be really growing into this side.
Yeah, I think he's one of a number of players. When you mentioned Steve, and I think players like that that we hadn't necessarily at the beginning of the season thought they were going to be a big part are all flourishing, and we keep thinking Hanley got injured, you know, Pukki was out for a bit, and you know, whenever something bad seems to be looming, an injury or someone not available for another reason, someone else steps up to the mark and everyone is just clicking and just going really well.
Yeah, I think on Buendia, it's worth remembering he's 21 and he's come from Argentina. He hasn't come from Argentina, but he's come from the continent. We saw a number of players last year not fit in straight away. Buendia's taken a little bit of time, but I mean, I thought he was absolutely outstanding on Saturday, and the Brentford game as well. He's been our best player, I think, over the last two matches.
Chipping in my goals, which I love, and a clean sheet. How much was the cheat? Did you like the clean sheet? That must have been a nice little stat.
Yeah, well, we've got a few this season, and it's certainly getting better. I should have the number off the top of my head, but it's been a while now in the league since we've conceded two. I think that's really important. I think maybe 11 or 12 games. And, you know, if you're not conceding two, you're giving yourself a great chance to win. So, yeah, the defence is definitely better than it was last year too.
Let's say Leeds.
Yes, I think it was Leeds.
Let's take Leeds, and I'm sure someone will correct us if we're wrong. that's the good thing. The good thing of this. Right, let's have a look at some of your posts, shall we? As I said, we're asking for your Norwich City tribute food dishes. Who wouldn't want to get in on this? David McKenzie, easy one. Pukki pasta. Is that a pukki pasta?
Well, I'll get my little.
Hang on.
Well, I've got pukki pie.
That was literally all I have.
That was the obvious.
Yes.
Yeah. Pukki pies. Love it. It's a good bit of advertising as well. Someone should do that commercially. What else have we got here? Scott Reeves says hello from Atlanta, Georgia. Wow.
It really is global tonight.
Hope you voted correctly in the midterm, Scott. Ian Honeyman, loving the run. Next test, can we deal with a succession of buses being parked at Carrow Road? Well, you'll have to read my column in a day or two. Shirley Fox, good luck for Saturday. Thank you. For me, I'll take it as well, but also, of course, for Norwich City. And what else have we got here? Ben Harrell, the only signing we need in January is Farke's extended contract. How times change. Alan Monument, Buendia was my man of the match on Saturday. Good stuff. And he says he nearly left at half-time at Cardiff. Good job you didn't, Alan. Which I guess Which Cardiff? Would that be in the Cardiff a few seasons
cup
ago?
Game. Cup game this year?
Cup game?
Yeah, because we were in front in the cup game, so why would you leave?
Alan, let us know which Cardiff game. There's the one where they were 2-0 down a few years ago and they won 4-2 with the second half comeback. Stirring game, could have been that one. Let me know. Let's continue on then, shall we? What was the one I was going to pick up on there, actually? Oh, in terms... Yeah, let's talk about Daniel Farke's contract. And I think, actually, Dave Hannant, who we had on the show a couple of weeks, your sort of column sidekick,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, my column buddy.
You can give us your view now, Clark. He said the two biggest deals Norwich need to make in January, Tim Closer and Daniel Farke, both out of contract in the summer.
Yeah, I think Closer's been a real rock, and, yeah, let's get him. I mean, I think if we could just get him signed up now, forget waiting until the end of the season. I think likewise with Farke. I mean, what more has he got to prove this season in terms of the start he's had? So I think the longer the negotiations go on, the more it will perhaps play on people's minds. So I would say if I was Weber, get the pair of them done and dusted now. And just on the bus, briefly on the bus parking, I think that might become an issue. And I'm normally fairly... you know, half full, rose, yellow tinted glasses. I suppose my one slight concern is we've perhaps gone under the radar a little bit this season in that run. Yeah. And when teams really start taking us seriously, I think at home there will be that just stop us playing. I think away from home they might be a bit more physical. We might get kicked around a bit more, which might be an issue for some of our lads. But I think if we can deal with that, and I see no reason why Farke showed a bit of adaptability, that we can't cope with those extra challenges.
Yeah, no side has had that championship success over the course of the season without adapting during the course of the season to what other people did.
But Norwich seem to have done that pretty well. I've seen you make the point, Michael, that they've come from behind in games, they've led games early and managed to hold on. They certainly look better at breaking teams down, they certainly look a lot quicker in attack than they were last season. I think on the closer point, actually, what I've been thinking before we went on this good run was that it was almost maybe part of the plan to let his contract run down. I don't know if I'm trying to get into the mind of Stuart Webber here, but if we hadn't got promoted or weren't looking like we were going to be in the shake-up, the plan would be to let Closer go, being it'll probably be on high wages, and have Godfrey as the option for next season, because Farke's been very complimentary about Godfrey but not giving him much game time. He has played him alongside Zimmerman, but I think now the thought might be, well, actually, he's playing so well, let's give him a new deal.
I guess I can only give him a new deal if Closer goes, well, that's what I'm going to accept, especially as we know that it's not Hamburg, because I got it wrong the other week, Hanover. You know, they wanted him and they had that contract. That contract offer will probably still be on the table come the summer. So it'll be a difficult one. I did rule out basically Alex Tetti signing a new deal last season, so I'm not going to make that mistake again, because circumstances change, don't they? And that's one of the things.
What a man,
Alex Tetti. What a revelation he is.
Forget playing only once a week. I mean, something's happened to him, hasn't it? Clearly.
That's true, yes.
Well, and he's covering more ground. I mean, he's doing more work.
Yeah.
More games.
Whether there's a different training regime for him, whether all of a sudden he's found a new lease of life.
Yeah. Well, I never thought I'd see him start a Carabao Cup game again, and yet there he was. So, yeah, it's good to see.
Two
Carabao Cup games.
Played all of both of them, I think, as well, off the top of my head. Just quickly on January, then, elsewhere, would you make any changes to the squad? Because I'm assuming that they're not probably going... They don't have to let anyone go. I think that's true. Even if they get a big offer, they could probably ride it out. But I think of it and think, well, I'm not really sure what I would do if I brought anyone in either, because, and we know that Stuart Webber doesn't really like doing business in January either.
No, I think it would only be a bit of tinkering, maybe bring one or two bodies in if needed. I mean, if we suddenly get a run of injuries now or suspensions, then you might need to do that. I agree. I don't think there'll be any big name departures, because I think Webber would now be able to say to those lads, look, give us, if we're still in the same position roughly as we are now in January, why would you want to leave? We're in a good position to make a challenge, and if they were going to go, they'd arguably go to lower Premier League clubs who could get relegated. So I think we can hold on to our key lads, and I think going out and spending big money on players who may not fit into the squad could actually have an unsettling effect.
I think Ian made the point about injuries. I think that's one of the things this season that has been so positive, is that they've missed key players. Or, you know, at the start of the season, if you'd said which two players would you not want to lose, you'd have potentially said Hanley and Hernandez, and they've rode that. Pukki then getting injured after the international break and being able to throw Rhodes in. So it looks like they now have the squad to deal with. Well, you know, McLean's been out.
Yeah.
Marshall we've hardly seen. So it looks like they do have a squad now to deal with that as well. So I'm with you. Maybe some light tinkering, but no more.
unbridled optimism at the moment. What is going on? It's really desperately uncomfortable with it. Let's have a look at the other one. So apologies to Alan Monument. He was talking about the 4-2 win in Cardiff a few years ago, mainly because Rob Philby had already been in touch to say the Wednesday second half reminded me of away at Cardiff under Neil Adams a few years ago, which of course 2-0 down at half time, blew them away in the second half. Such a transformation. But I tell you what, Cardiff were probably a better side than Wednesday were on Saturday. But let's not let that spoil things. Mark Newstead, Max Aaron's just sublime for the second goal by Pukki, which he certainly was. Let's face it, there is going to be interest in January. Yes, there is, Mark. It doesn't mean they have to sell. Honestly, it doesn't mean they have to sell. And I know it has felt like that for a year, but that's what I reckon anyway. And of course, your Norwich City tribute food dishes. Chris Ellis straight in with the Rocky Roads. That's a good one. You're liking these, aren't you? I can tell. And whatever ones we got. Oh, Neil Austin says hi, Clarky.
Hi, Neil. You're right.
And Lorne Smyber with the Zimmer Zinga. Is that a KFC reference? Are we taking that?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take it. Zimmer Zinga, that's the new burger out now at KFC, probably. Am I going to get a free burger out of that? I hope so. Right, as you know, last week we didn't do Flip the Bird, so I tell you what, Dan, let's do it this week. I'm getting a finger pointing from Dan, which means I'm back on. Go, all right, I'm going. Thank you. Just make yourself heard. Right, yes, it's Flip the Bird. The game now refreshed after a week off, hopefully. Last time out, it was quite the sight as the truly lovely Paul McInnes brought his own flair to proceedings. His three was as entertaining as any big score, while Dave Hannon produced a platform-building debut of his own with four. Tonight, it's a debut for Steve. While Clarkey, he has a curious 2.5 from last season to beat.
That was awful.
That's your target to beat. 2.5. I think that's because we've half the time, because we got a bit bored with a minute. So I think that's what we did. So there we go. There's your pile. Yeah, take a pile to have a half each. That's the way. Dan's looking ready with his timer. Is he? Dan's got his timer. He's ready. Are we all there? You two are poised. You know what you've got to do. In short, you have 30 seconds to flip as many bar mats as possible, adding one to your flipping pile with each successful one-handed catch. You don't have to start again if you drop them. Just keep on with your number. Both scores will find their way onto our leaderboard. The winner will get a much-prized selfie with Wesley Moulihan that we are actually going to do tonight. Look at you two. You're still poised and ready. Are you ready, Dan? You're poised and ready. I'll stop talking.
Three, two, one. Go.
There we go, away we go. It's a scratchy start, but they're both claiming it, so away they go. Steve's just looking a bit twitchy there, but Clarky's just motoring. Oh, big air, too much air. Steve drops on, but it's okay, straight in to replace it. There's a lot of nervousness here. These two look twitchy. Clarky's puns are in the way. That's not helping the situation. Steve's looking focused. He looks not quite as calm as when he's tweeting out his stats. He's much happier tweeting out stats than flipping bar mats. That's understandable. Clarky's just motoring on. He's keeping a quiet two.
One, stop.
Well, Steve's have ended up in a pile. Clark has put one back because he was cheating. So I'm going to pick these ones up. Say again, Steve.
I think I ended up on three.
I'm declaring four.
Okay. Well, there you go. You get the selfie then.
Yeah. Well, we'll all be in the selfie, and I'm going to remember to take it. Gents, well done. That was highly competitive.
Thank God that's out.
And amusing. It's definitely the part of the show these guys don't like. Have we got the sting again, Dan? Pay the sting! We're back on. Thanks, Dan. Good directing, that. He's even wearing a cap tonight, which is exciting. So, after the excitement of all that, let's have some QT with these two. Steve, let's talk about your account, your NCFC numbers. It's on Twitter, at NCFC numbers. How do you do it? How do you do all those? I mean, they are remarkable, some of these stats.
It's kind of, I guess, the magic of Excel, which if there's any spreadsheet fans out there, I don't know, probably not. I suppose I've always had a bit of an inquisitive mind for that kind of thing. When something unusual happens, like the 4-0 win last weekend, my brain immediately shoots to, well, when was the last time that happened? Three goals scored in 11 minutes away from home, when was the last time that happened? So I just thought I'd make something of that, really, and Twitter seemed like a good platform for it. I thought I'd give it a try. Obviously, you've got very popular accounts like Opta Joe, which do it for all kinds of football, so I thought, why not do something for Norwich City? Obviously, I don't think the account is anywhere near as good as what they do, and I don't have the resources that they do, but on a kind of a much smaller scale. And yeah, people seem to be enjoying it up to this point.
The thing you say, though, don't underplay it, that this spreadsheet must be amazing, because the detail and the different things that pop up and It's just remarkable. So, I mean, how long did it take you to put that sort of stuff together? And how far back are we going here?
Quite a while. I don't want to paint myself as somebody that sits alone at home in front of a laptop on dark nights.
But
there might be an element of truth in that. it's got kind of everything I thought I would need in there, and I've just kind of worked backwards from the start, really, and I kind of update the games as they go along. So it's got who plays, it's got who scores, it's got what minute they've scored in, all that kind of stuff and more. And then it's just a matter of fact-checking and double fact-checking to make sure I'm exactly right. And I've been called up a couple of times, but I haven't had any massive howlers yet, I don't think.
Don't worry about that. So how far back does it go, do you reckon?
At the moment, about 1985.
Oh, wow.
And you said you think it's got everything in it that you need. Is there one thing you think you haven't got in it that you'd want?
I don't have attendances, and I don't have referees, because I kind of thought, well, where's the relevance? But that information is out there if you look hard enough, which I don't think anyone ever has until now. So
I don't want to add to your workload, so don't worry about it. So I'm glad you're enjoying it, and it is really good. Give it a follow if you're out there at NCFC Numbers. What's in the pipeline for it? Any big plans, or is it just sort of tick it along?
I don't know. I think we'll see where it goes. I mean, my thought when I launched it was, if I can get 1,000 followers after season one, then I'll be doing all right. And it's just ticked past that mark. So I don't know. Maybe get to Christmas and see where I'm at, and then maybe think about doing something extra for next season. But it takes a bit of time to do on its own. So I think, if I aim too big, then it might start to become a burden. I don't know, but if anyone's got any ideas, then I'll be very happy to hear them.
You're always welcome on the show. Give us your stats insight. Appreciate that, Steve. Clarky, we've had a run of EDP columnists on the show, so you might as well have your go at telling us. Well, you haven't actually got a column to plug, have you? Because Dave's done it this week.
Dave's done it this week, yeah. He's, as we said earlier on, he's talking about the importance of getting Farker and Closer signed up for the future. So, what I'll be writing about next week slightly depends on Millwall on Saturday.
Yeah.
Obviously, coming out on a Thursday, we want something that, you know, we can't just reflect on the previous week, because everyone's had their say on that. So it's normally something a little bit offbeat, or something maybe looking ahead to the following week.
When do you normally come up with your idea? Because I know I sort of sit in the mix zone after a game with Chris Gorham, and I can sometimes tell what he's going to write in his column because of what he's talking about. I love it.
So yeah, sometimes it's during a game, you see something, you think, right, that's what I'm going to focus on.
You then have to hope none of us lot write it first.
And I normally sort of scoot over to the sports desk and say, you boys do anything on this? So, and sometimes it's in the middle of the night, I wake up and think, right, I've got it tweaked. I need to probably get out.
You write it down?
Yeah, I'm normally just putting that on my phone, actually. Don't forget that.
Well, that's two of us in these get-out more, so yeah, that's good. We'll pick the right show.
The worst thing is coming up with the idea, going back to sleep, and then forgetting it. I never do that. Have you ever had writer's block?
Yeah, because I normally aim to do it by first thing Wednesday, and sometimes half six on a Wednesday morning, I'm still struggling to do it. I know if I don't get it done before I get into work, I just won't have time. So it's sometimes a little bit up to the line, but normally I get there in the end.
Top stuff, Clarky. So it's a Thursday, alternate Thursdays from next Thursday, yeah?
Yep, absolutely.
Binker.com. Yeah, cash in. Right, brilliant stuff. So it is Norwich City notice board time. And we've got a couple of house notices this week and a bit of a confession at the same time. This was the bit when I was supposed to flag up my wonderful personalised Binker mug. But in a fit of optimum professionalism, I appear to have left said mug on my desk. So you too can get a personalised Binker mug, or buy it as a present with your name on it, as the one I've got on my desk. Not much use, is it? There's a strap for it, isn't there, Dan? Is that going to work? Binker.com/shop. Just imagine how brilliant it would look, and then you can go to binker.com/shop and see it in action. And I tell you what, I'm probably going to do exactly the same plug next week with the mug. All being well. Who's a mug? Anyway, there you go. Someone called Lambert might be a good option for the mug. Doesn't work. I haven't got the mug. Pointless. And secondly, we have a new member of the Pinken family, an app. We've already filmed special behind-the-scenes insights at Bournemouth, Hillsborough and more. And rest assured, there is plenty more to come as myself, Paddy and Dave take it across the country and even across the world. Thanks, Clarky. More to come. Watch this space and download the app by searching Pinken, two words, Pink, in either the App Store or Google Play. I haven't brought the app with me, but that wasn't so much of an issue. And remember, if there's anything or any tweets, stories, events or groups of a canary's nature that you want us to flag up here on the Pinken Show's Norwich City Notice Board, then let us know via all the usual social media channels or with an email to thepinken@archant.co.uk. So that went well. Right, time for Canary's refresh. It was quite the week in the Championship. Let's bring you up to speed. Inform QPR lost out at highly promising Blackburn, while Villa, Leeds and Middlesbrough all did their usual tricks on the TV. Rotherham stunned Swansea with their late comeback, while Ipswich couldn't beat Alec Neil's Preston, despite playing against 10 men for the final 20 minutes with midfielder Paul Gallagher in goal. Wins for Hull and Reading only made things worse on Paul Lambert's Blues bow. So Lambert joins with Ipswich 3 points adrift at the bottom and Ipswich are now cut adrift at the bottom by 5 points. And if we look at the top half as well, sorry, mucked out. It's not quite as good as it looked on Saturday, Mike, but it's still not bad. Norwich are second only by goal difference, which is now on a par with those sides around them. Blackburn have popped up again in the top half to underline the fact it's still early days and extremely tight in the top half. As for this weekend, it kicks off with a Sheffield derby with loads on the line for both clubs. Ipswich surely have to get something from their trip to fellow strugglers Reading, while Leeds are on the TV again come Saturday evening. Goodness only knows how a clash between Frank Lampard's Derby and John Terry's Aston Villa has been allowed to take place at 3 p.m. on a Saturday. Heads may well roll at Sky. After this weekend, it's the third international break of the season, so make the most of the action. Got a bit stuck on the old bottom half of the table. What I was going to say is Millwall's loss at Brentford does actually mean they are one of a few clubs starting to look over their shoulders. And of course, we'll talk about the Millwall game coming up in a little bit. Norwich are second. They were top of the league for a period. How much has it caught you by surprise, Steve?
Me, massively, to be honest. Well, in as much as I would, after the Leeds game, if you told me that we'd be level on point to them at the top, I would have assumed that you were mad. But yeah, the run that they've been on, as I tweeted at the weekend, is the best they've had in the top two tiers for 32 years, I think it was. So. It's been an incredible turnaround, and Farker deserves massive credit for it. I kind of want to point out, because I feel like it's too good not to talk about, is Max Ahrens. Since he's come in, and obviously he's not been solely responsible for it, but he's 18 years old. I made the point a couple of weeks ago that he's the youngest player to play that run of games since Bellamy. He's played 13 games, he's won 10, he's drawn 2 and he's lost 1. It's pretty incredible. They've not conceded more than once in those matches, and he's become an integral part of the team. Already got a goal, already got an assist.
There's a really interesting thing with Max Ahrens, in that when he first came into the side, I didn't think he looked ready. I thought he'd impressed. You're like, wow, this kid's only 18. He obviously did really well relative against Cardiff, because it's like, look at how well he's doing. And in the first few games, like, he's doing okay. Yeah, you know, defensively he was a bit shaky at times, and it's Daniel Farke's given him a run. He's properly instilled faith in him, and now we're seeing a fullback who looks the part in the Championship. And it's obviously a quick turnaround. Yeah. The form may drop off, but I think Daniel deserves credit for that part of it as much as anything.
Absolutely. For me, he's got pace. He's a good defender. You know, he does his core job well. He gets forward very nicely. You know, clearly that goal at Sheffield Wednesday that he set up was phenomenal, and he seems to have the maturity to know when to bomb forward, but not when to, you know, not when to leave his post, as it were. You know, other right backs we've got perhaps think a little bit more about going further forward than doing their core role. But he's been outstanding.
Back to the Championship then. Anyone is surprising you out of this lot? And I'm curious as to who the sides that Norwich need to finish above if they're really going to do something this year.
It's difficult to tell, really. I mean, Leeds obviously looked very, very strong when they came to Carrow Road. Probably the best side we've seen at this level for a while. But, you know, as we were saying before, they have a bit of a tendency to fall away and implode. And Bielsa's teams do have a bit of a reputation for starting off like a runaway train, and then their teams kind of lose energy. So, kind of got that to hold on to. I think Derby could be a threat, actually. I think Lampard's doing something. Frank Lampard's Derby, FLD.
Frank Lampard on TV's Derby.
Yeah. Not this weekend, though.
No.
So I would look at them, maybe Nottingham Forest, although I'm not yet convinced about Karanka there. I don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah, I think any of the what you'd call the big clubs, the ones you mentioned, West Brom possibly in the mix as well, have always perhaps got the potential to gel, come good if they need to spend some money in January to push them on. Villa actually aren't in the top half. I thought they looked good when they came here, but clearly aren't really pulling up trees at the moment. But if they had a run, they could. You know, clearly it's a very tight league.
Yeah.
You know, Bristol City in 12th are only 8 points off the top, so I think anybody's potentially could do it as we have. But certainly there's no one that we need to say they are going to run away with it as Wolves did last year, for instance.
So funny, because we did the preview Pinkham podcast at the start of the season, and I remember it stuck in my head saying, if you can't, I looked at it and I thought, God, it looks really strong and even all over the place, and if you can't see any weak sides in the division, someone said, it means you're one of the weak sides. And now there's nothing that fears me in the Championship at all, and that's a phenomenal position to be in at this point. As for the bottom end, we've got to talk about it. This looks really bad for Ipswich. I know it's looked difficult, but it looks really bad. They go to Reading on Saturday, and surely they have to win the game, don't they? I mean, not being beating around the bush.
They do. I mean, I kind of think the Championship is one of those divisions where you can get on a roll. So even at this stage of the season, although it'll feel like a big game, even if they lose it, I still wouldn't rule anything out. I just remember us under Roda when we were in a similar position in, 10 years ago or so now, in that first season when he came in, when we leapt from a similar position like this to ultimately, well, mid-table for a while and then ultimately staying up with a couple of games to spare. So I still don't think Ipswich are quite cut adrift.
I've got several Ipswich friends, they are friends, believe it or not.
That
I think Lambert will keep them up, and I think he will just. But that's probably based on what he did here in terms of his ability to bring the best out of players. And I actually think he's got a very, very poor squad there. So he is going to have to really do something in order to get enough out of what he's got.
Underlines the task he's got, that he has to do what he did at Norwich to keep Ipswich up. I think that's almost the point of it, isn't it? Right, let's get some of your messages through. Thank you so much. There's absolutely loads of them, so I'll try and get through as many as possible. Melvin Bryant, going to every home game feeling positive we can beat anyone in this league. Yes, Melvin, hold on to that on Saturday because it's Millwall. Neil Austin, McGovern out, another keeper in. That's, of course, for January. Harsh on poor Michael. Rob Philby, do teams really go under the radar in this day and age with all the scouting and preparations teams do on up-and-coming opponents?
That's a really good point. It's a very good point, but I think maybe in the players' minds when they go out there, you know, if they are playing one of the really big teams, they've got it up there that they're a big team, and some of them think they might take a little bit more for granted. So, but I think the preparation is clearly big, but I think it's possible.
Good stuff. We are, of course, asking for your NCFC tribute food dishes in honour of an Ipswich restaurant's Paul Lambert burger. Still a poor pun. Let's have a look. Ian Honeymoon says, Hernandez a lovely stew. Hernandez a lovely stew. Or as Dan Smith, who should be busy directing the show, has posted, Onel Hernando's.
Hey, that's good
work. Just a pretty face. Lisa Jack, Tom Freibel, or Uncle Ben's Godfrey.
Oh, that's very good. I like Uncle Ben's Godfrey.
Amazing.
Well, I've got two of those, slightly differently.
Oh, you've got to come to Ian in his list.
Yeah. Okay, right, quickly then. So we've got Grant Hamley.
Okay.
Tom Troipball.
Yeah, nice. It.
Ben Codfrey. And with Ben Codfrey, you can have Mario Vranchips. How about Bread and Jamal Lewis?
Yes.
Nice, yep.
Justin Fishanew, going back a little bit.
Nice.
Camembert Jerome, again going back a little bit. Alex, this is for the Scots out there, Alex Tatty. Yeah.
Right.
Seb C. Basson. And the final one, our old hero, Darren Hucker, Beans on Toast.
Never has a man been more in his
I
element.
I think I'll go home.
Camembert Jerome is genius. I'm sorry.
It's
quite remarkable. Clarky, well done. Top work. Steve, you've got the rest of the show to come up with one.
I'll do my best.
Other ones on here. Lisa Jack, Ian Butterworth and Egg Downs. Do we get that one? Or Milky Mackay and Danny Pepper Mills.
Yeah, good. Milky Mackay, very good.
Alan Prigg, asking a game. Haven't felt this good about City since that amazing day at Wembley. Love it.
Can't argue with that.
And Daniel Gould, we need a pint of pookie.
I don't get it.
I'm just nodding at him.
I may have to clarify that one, I think.
Okay. There was another one, but I think we've done it. Well, Danielle actually made a point. extra homegrown players in January, perhaps. But I guess buy them or promote them, I guess, is the option. Because, of course, we saw Alfie Payne, Timmy Odesina, both on the bench on Saturday.
Yeah, well, you know, it's great that they're actually getting a chance. And, you know, so far promoting youth has worked wonders. I think it's a good... I mean, I was absolutely cursing it at the start of the season. I was thinking, how have they allowed this to happen? But clearly I didn't have enough faith in the young players that we had. So it doesn't seem to be too much of an issue.
And they're in there clearly on their merits, aren't they? It's not like the club's saying, right, our only hope is kids, so we're going to put them in, we're going to stick with them, and, you know, if they're not very good, you know, you just bear with them. I mean, although, you know, Jamal Lewis and Campwell and Aarons clearly are punching their way and are keeping, obviously, a lot more experienced players out because they deserve to be in.
I did have to admit, I did wince when you said that Glenn Roeder was in charge 10 years ago. Where did that 10 years go? And also, Ben Mounce has been in touch, scouting the show, so he can come on in a few weeks, I hope, Ben. Steve should have brought his laptop like Richard Osman on Pointless.
Yeah.
Does that make you Alexander Armstrong, then?
I'll take it, definitely. Thanks, Ben. So, it is a banana skin. Only Rotherham have a worse away record than Millwall so far this season. Just 2 points from 8 games on the road. And, of course, Norwich are now flying. This is exactly what we're going to worry about. Am I right? It would have just been a normal fixture, wouldn't it, Clarkie? But now we're worried.
Yeah, I mean, the older lot, you know, we all know along come Norwich, or along come Nodge. But I guess, you know, we could have said that last week about Sheffield Wednesday. You know, we'd lost 5-1 there the last two visits. I mean, hopefully we're starting to kick all these hoodoos into touch and actually say, right, each game on its merits, we're flying, they're rubbish away from home, we've just got to put them away. I think our early goal will be key. I think if they were to grab an early one, they may well park half a dozen London buses. But I think if we can get on top, get the tempo going early on, get ahead, then I think we could take advantage and get another win.
I mean, you mentioned on the fact Norwich didn't beat any of the bottom four last season, Steve. I think the bottom three had 71 defeats between them, and obviously Norwich didn't account for a single one of those.
That's excellent. So
it is where it needs to change, most definitely. And in terms of the atmosphere at Carrow Road, it's just that change of dynamic, isn't it? There's almost going to be an expectation again, which we've kind of done quite well to put to one side for a bit.
Yeah.
So there'll be a bit of pressure on the crowd, I suppose, in a way.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, I think everyone's up for it at the moment, aren't they? So I don't know whether they'll necessarily feel that pressure. I mean, I thought the Villa game in particular, I remember thinking, wow, there's a real buzz about the place that there hasn't been in quite a long time. And that carried over to Brentford. The win last week is gonna keep that going, you would think. Are we having flags again on Saturday?
I don't think they're going anywhere.
It'll
just be more flags with each game.
I like the flags. Let's keep the flags. I don't necessarily think the crowd will feel pressure. I just think it will happen organically. And actually, the Stoke game as well was telling that they got clapped off the pitch on the Ball City chant. How often does that happen after a defeat? So I think the mood has turned, even in defeats now, and it's healthy.
Right. I know there aren't many flags at the moment, so some people think it looks a bit, you know, not great. But imagine that whole lower Barclay with flags, and that's obviously what the guys are working to. So keep up the good work. At Millwall, they had a great second half to last year, didn't they? Absolutely flying. It's just not happened for Neil Harris in this half, and obviously they're having to do it without Ben Marshall.
Yeah, and obviously momentum can be a two-way thing, can't it? So clearly we're seeing the benefit of a positive one. They're on the roll the other way, and I think, you know, if you get out of the habit of winning, get out of the habit of playing well, you then struggle, which they clearly are, and, you know, only a point off the bottom three.
I do just wonder if Neil Harris is going to fancy a little nibble at Ben Marshall in January, as he's not playing.
I think that was a heavy hint what he said during the week about him.
So he's such a good player, why is he not playing? I just spoke to him the other day on the phone.
What's he doing in January?
Yeah. I think we might see Marshall on Saturday, actually. Maybe not from the start, but perhaps from the bench. Yeah.
Go on, what he looks like. Let's have a look at your 11s. This is where we ask the guys to show us the 11 they would pick for the game upcoming, which is, of course, Millwall at Carrow Road on Saturday. I warn you now, this is not going to take very long. Dan, who do you want to go first? It actually doesn't matter. Clarky, let's have a look at yours.
Well, if you saw the starting lineup at Hillsborough, it's very similar, actually. I mean, basically exactly the same. Yeah. So I'm definitely sticking with Lewis and Ahrens and Closer and Zimmerman. Tetti, who's, you know, just can't stop playing. Leitner, I've been so impressed with him this year. Just looks such quality. Hernandez, Mwendia, and then Rancic stays in there just behind the man Timo.
I mean, we've got no one who's necessarily due to come back in. Mark Newstead has asked how long do we think Campbell is out for. I mean, he's probably not far off coming back, to be honest, but it's just before the international break, so they might, if they don't need to hurry him back, they wouldn't. But I mean, you both, should we have a look at Steve's team as well, Dan? Pop that on. It's exactly the same. But you've both stuck with Mario Vrančić, which I guess says a lot about how patient he's had to be to wait for his chance.
Do you know, I actually think this front four, in terms of the talent they've got, is probably, well, it's difficult to say really, but I think maybe the best four that we have. I think I loved Stieperman and Campbell in the run that we've been on, but I think it actually went up a notch on last Saturday. I'm not sure whether that would have happened without Hernandez and Vrančić on the pitch. Certainly Vrančić was instrumental in goals 3 and 4. He absolutely, as you say, Michael, completely deserves his place. I think he's had to wait for it. He's made a lot of substitute appearances this season, but he certainly deserves to be there right now.
Stuff, gents, top work. One more final push then, of course, because it's the international break after this coming weekend. Let's have a look on the live chat a little bit more. Mark Deck says, long way off, but who stays and who goes if we go up? Do you know what, Mark? I'm going to leave that one for you. And of course, we've been asking for your Norwich City tribute food dishes. You're done, aren't you, Clarky? You're done. How done you were as well. Rob Philby comes up with Robert Risotto.
Oh, that's good.
I think that works. And Dave McKenzie, Matty Cornish Pattison. Steve?
Can I give you a couple? Because yes, I've been frantically trying.
Yes.
Right, Gary Hula Hooper.
Oh, yeah.
Can I have that one?
Yeah, good.
And Steen Nedergaarden Peas.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Two little corkers at the end. I love your work, Steve. Top work. Ben Harold, finally. Clarky and Steve's team would result in us needing 4 homegrown players on the bench, only 3 on the pitch. Gents, sort it out, you're sacked. That's it, we're done. Oh no, sorry, let's ask. Millwall, Keyman and predictions. Keyman for the game and your prediction, please.
Pukki again to find the net, and I think we'll win 3-1.
I'm going with Onel. And I think it'll be tight, but I'm going to go. Can I throw in one last stat?
Yes.
So last Friday was the, as I'm sure everyone knows and has been aware of, the 50th anniversary of the last time Millwall won at Carrow Road. 20 games since they last won here. So I'm thinking they're not going to win. I'm going to go for a 1-0. Narrow win. Sorry.
A clean sheet again. I love it. I'm going to say 2-0, and Hernandez will get one of them. Let's do it. We are done for tonight. That is it. Remember, you can catch this show and all our superb Norwich City coverage on the Pinkins Facebook page and YouTube channel. But first and foremost, pinkin.com. I will be at Carrow Road on Saturday alongside Paddy Davids. So make sure you keep tabs on pinkin.com and the new Pinkin app for all our build-up team news, live coverage, reaction and analysis. And if you see us around, please say hello. We will be back again next Wednesday evening from 7 p.m. live here at the Woolpack for the Pinkin show with all the fun and usual games. So please join us then. Be it in the flesh here, have a pint, why not? Clarky will get them in, or online. And be aware, we are working on popping in on a few other venues over the coming months. So watch this space and feel free to volunteer your favourite options with an email to thepinkin@archant.co.uk. We've already had a Dirham suggestion, haven't we, Clarky? Of course we have. It's Clarky, Dirham. And it's the same email address if you want to join us here on the show and be one of our fan pundits, thepinkin@archant.co.uk. In the meantime, a big thank you to our guests tonight, to Clarky and Steve. Thank you so much. Really enjoyed it, Steve.
Do you enjoy your
wonderful? Steve, do you enjoy it up,
David? It's been a pleasure, and nice to be alongside Clarky.
Top man, Clarky. Thanks, of course, to the Woolpack, as always, to the crew, as in Dan and his cap and his pun. Top work, multitasking. And, of course, to you guys for watching and getting involved in the show. We do, as always, really, really appreciate it. We'll see you again next week. Until then, here's to only one roar being heard at Carrow Road this weekend. Good night.